Today's class is given by His Grace Radhika Vallabha Das Prabhuji. Prabhuji is reading Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Lila, 13th chapter, 78 onwards. Please, Prabhuji, take over the call, Prabhuji. We all welcome in the call to you. Thank you for your association. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, are you there?
I think Prabhu has to reconnect maybe because neither his audio nor video.
Krishna?
Now we can
hear. Hare Krishna Matadi, Jangat Pranam.
Hare Krishna.
Are you able to hear me?
Yes, Prabhuji, now we can hear you, Prabhu.
Okay. So I shall begin. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudirayet Nashtaprayeshva Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatir Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nandagopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Omagyanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadatiswa Padantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. So welcome all the devotees for this Chaitanya Charitamrita class. We are going to discuss from the Antilila chapter 13. Text number 78 onwards. Because I'll not be reading every text, but I'll describe the pastimes in summary and discuss something related to the pastime. So in 10 verses from 78 to 88, one beautiful pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is being described by Kaviraj Goswami. Ekadina Prabhu Yameshwara Totayaite Sei Kale Devadasi Lagila Gaite. One day when the Lord was going to the temple of Yameshwar, a female singer began to sing in the Jagannath temple. Ujjari Ragi Nilai Sumadura Sware Gita Govinda Padagaya Jagamana Hare. She sang a Gujari tune in a very sweet voice, and because the subject was Jayadeva Goswami's Gita Govinda, the song attracted the attention of the entire world. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this song from a distance, and he could not even recognize that whether it was a male voice or a female voice. So Mahaprabhu went in ecstasy, and he went to meet the singer. So when he started running to meet the singer, his body was actually pierced by some thorny hedges, and blood started oozing from his body, and he didn't even notice that the blood is coming from his body. And then at that time, Govinda came. And he just ran behind the Lord, and then Govinda actually caught the Supreme Lord. The Lord actually did not even know whether it was a male voice or a female voice, did not notice that the blood was oozing from the thorns, actually, when the body was pierced with the thorns. And Mahaprabhu was running rapidly. He was just a short distance away from that. He was about to go and actually embrace that girl who was actually singing that songs of Gita Govinda. And then Govinda caught Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and told that, oh, it is a woman singing. And Mahaprabhu said, when he heard the word, oh, it is a woman singing. So Lord actually came to external consciousness, and then he turned back. And he told Govinda, for today you have saved my life. If I had touched the body of a woman, I would certainly have died. So you have saved me from actually committing suicide. So for the help which you have rendered, I will not be able to repay this debt towards you. And then Govinda said that actually Lord Jagannath has saved you. I am simply insignificant. Then Mahaprabhu says that actually, my request is that please stay always with me and please protect me, because there is a danger everywhere. Then Mahaprabhu returned home. When Swarup Damodar Goswami and others heard this pastime, they became very much afraid. So this is the pastime we are going to discuss. Very short and sweet pastime, but we'll try to discuss some points related to this first. So here we see the pastime begins with Mahaprabhu hearing that Gita Govinda sung by this Devadasi singer, a girl in Jagannath Puri. So in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami discusses what is Bhakti Rasa. He says Bhakti Rasa is composed of 5 ingredients. The primary ingredient of Bhakti Rasa is called as Sthayi Bhava. Sthayi Bhava means one's eternal affection towards Krishna. And when the Sthayi Bhava is nourished by 4 other ingredients, when this Thai Bhava is mixed with four other ingredients, what are the four other ingredients? Vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvika Bhava, and Vyabhichari Bhava. So when this Thai Bhava is mixed with these four other ingredients, then a person tastes what is called as Bhakti Rasa. A simple example I always give, with some of you might be attending or might be attended the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu classes, which we are discussing in another group. So in the, for example, the like a simple halwa, the main ingredient of a halwa is the rava. But when the rava is mixed with the other ingredients like sugar, ghee, proper fire, dry fruits, then it becomes, then the rava becomes what is called as halwa. So the rava is like the Sthayi Bhava, the main ingredient of halwa. Sthayi Bhava is the main ingredient of the Bhakti Rasa. Sthayi Bhava means one's constant affection towards the Lord. Just like the rava is, when it is mixed with the other four ingredients through a proper process, it is not a mixture, just you mix it together. No, you have to like roast the rava and then add the, say, water, sugar at appropriate time. And then it becomes halwa. Like. So similarly, when the Sthayi Bhava is like nourished or mixed with the four other ingredients, then it becomes Bhakti Rasa. So Sthayi Bhava is one's eternal affection. So Vibhava means, Vibhava is that which stimulates one's affection. That which stimulates one's affection. And when the Sthayi Bhava is stimulated by Vibhava, the resultant actions exhibited by the devotee, they are the Anubhava and the Sattvika Bhava. Anubhava is the subsequent ecstasy manifested by the devotee when the affection is stimulated. Sattvika Bhava is also a subsequent ecstasy exhibited by the devotee when the affection is stimulated. The difference between Anubhava and Sattvika Bhava is that in Anubhava, there is an element of intelligence involved. There is a premeditated action, but in Sattvika Bhava, there is no element of intelligence. And then there is Vyabhichari Bhava. Vyabhichari Bhava is an ecstatic emotion in the mood of anxiety, and there are many different categories are there. A simple example which can be given, another example is that suppose there is a Deepavali firecracker is there. Deepavali firecracker. So in that firecracker, the inflammable material is stored within that firecracker box. And then there is a wick is actually protruding. And then when you take a spark of fire near that wick, and that spark of fire is acting as a stimulant, and that firecracker is stored with the inflammable material, then when it comes in contact with the spark of fire, then there is a display of the fireworks. The firework display in the form of like some rockets go in the air, or there is a Shankha Chakra, or there is a series of cracker sound, like big sounds come. This fireworks display come. So in this analogy, so in the firecrackers, the inflammable material is stored, and then it comes in contact with the spark of fire, and then there is a resultant display of the fireworks. So Sthayi Bhava is like the inflammable material which is there in the heart of a person. When the Sthayi Bhava comes in contact with the Vibhava, Vibhava is that which stimulates one's ecstasy, then the resultant firework display, the resultant emotion, the resultant actions exhibited by the person, they are like the firework display. They are the Anubhava and Sattvika Bhava. Like a simple example, another example of a mother has an affection towards the child. And then when the mother sees that the mother's affection towards the child is like the Sthayi Bhava. And then when the mother sees something related to the child, when the mother sees say, school bag of the child. The child is not present. The mother sees the, say, socks of the child or the school bag of the child. And that school bag acts as a stimulant that awakens the affection of the mother towards the child. And then the mother starts shedding tears. The school bag is acting as a stimulant. Is like the vibhava. And then the resultant action of the tears is like the anubhava on the sattvika bhava. So coming to another example is, like suppose a person has a great attraction for movie songs. And then suddenly he hears another person's mobile ringtone in which a particular tune of a movie song is actually ringing. So that tune of the movie song acts as a vibhava, and in his heart he has that attraction for the movie songs. And then as soon as when he hears the tune, then he starts singing that song only. And that resultant action of singing that movie song, that is like the anubhava and the sattvika bhava. So this is a general concept which we see in any day-to-day this thing. So if somebody else who may not have attraction for that particular movie song, he may not be aware of the movie song, when he hears the mobile ringtone, he may not have any feeling. For him, it will not make any difference. Or the mother sees the school bag, but some other lady sees the school bag of this child, then she will not feel actually any emotion because that school bag is not the school bag of her child. So therefore, this is the concept of the Sthayi Bhava, Vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvika Bhava, and Vyabhichari Bhava is another concept. Vyabhichari Bhava is something, it may appear to be going against the Sthayi Bhava, but it nourishes the Sthayi Bhava in a special way. Like for example, a simple example is that say in a Malpuva, we also add Kala Miri or black pepper. So black pepper, it goes against the taste of the Malpuva. But in reality, the black pepper, it actually nourishes the Malpuva. It enhances the taste of the Malpuva, although it is actually going in the opposite direction of to the taste of the Malpuva. Malpuva is sweet in nature, but black pepper is at the opposite taste. But it enhances the taste of the Malpuva in a distinct way. Camphor, it has an opposite taste from the sweet rice, but the camphor enhances the taste of the sweet rice in a distinct way. So that is the camphor or the Malpuva, that is Vyabhichari Bhava, is something like camphor or Malpuva. The Vyabhichari Bhava, it goes against the Sthayi Bhava, but it nourishes the Sthayi Bhava in a very distinct way. In this way, when the Sthayi Bhava is mixed with the Vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvika Bhava and Vyabhichari Bhava, then the combined thing is what is called as the Bhakti Rasa. The Vyabhichari Bhava, a simple example is, it is like the, another example, it is like the, say Jaljeera juice. We may put some particular masala which has a particular taste. It may be, when you take it separately, it will be very bitter and it will be very hot. But when you put in the Jaljeera juice, it enhances the overall taste. So an example of Vyabhichari Bhava is like, suppose a mother sees the child about to fall down from the staircase. So at that moment, the mother actually goes through the emotion of anxiety and she immediately rushes to save that child. And that emotion of anxiety is an example of Vyabhichari Bhava. And usually the Vyabhichari Bhavas are transitory in nature. They're transitory in nature, just like Kala Miri or Camphor. They are very small in quantity. A very small amount of quantity you add. Similarly, Vyabhichari Bhavas are very transitory in nature, but it actually adds to the entire taste of the bhakti rasa. So here, coming to this particular pastime of Mahaprabhu, so here the Devadasi singing this song of Gita Govinda of Jayadev Goswami. So this singing of the songs, it is acting as a vibhava. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has a sthayi bhava in his heart. He has his eternal affection towards Krishna. And then when he comes in contact with the vibhava, the song sung by this Devadasi, which is like the vibhava, then the resultant actions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is, he starts running at great speed. That resultant action is like the Anubhava and Sattvika Bhava. So somebody who does not have the Sthayi Bhava, when he hears the same song, for him no feelings will come. So let us say once one devotee asked Jananivas Prabhu, like, what are we supposed to feel when the darshan of the Lord opens in the temple? The Shringar Darshan opens. The Jananivas Prabhu said that actually we are supposed to fall down in ecstasy, and we are supposed to become unconscious. What he meant is that the darshan of the Lord is like the vibhava, and if we really have the sthayi bhava, the eternal affection towards the Lord, and that darshan will awaken that sthayi bhava, that will stimulate our sthayi bhava, then a person will actually go into ecstasy. He will exhibit the emotions of Anubhava, Sattvika Bhava, etc. So, of course, it doesn't happen in our case because we don't have the Sthayi Bhava. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he heard the songs of Devadasi, he went into complete internal consciousness that he did not even notice actually whether it is a male voice or a female voice. And he went into such a deep absorption, and he was running at great speed. His body was pierced by the thorns. Blood started coming, but he did not even notice that. So Rupa Goswami says that one of the type of anubhava, I mentioned the example of shedding the tears, but one of the type of anubhava, there are many categories of anubhava, many different emotions are there in anubhava, and many different emotions are there in sattvika bhava. Ashta sattvika vikara, we say 8 symptoms of ecstasy. So anubhava also has some, I think 14 or 15, something like that. So one of the type of anubhava is loka anapekshita. That means when a person goes into that ecstasy, when his affection for the Lord is stimulated, then he disregards what is happening around. Like he actually, there is a disregard for all others. He completely becomes oblivious to the surroundings. And just like the example is that the wives of the Brahmanas in the 10th canto, they had been hearing about Krishna regularly from the different vegetable sellers who are coming from Vrindavan. By hearing about Krishna regularly, they had developed the sthayi bhava. They developed an affection towards Krishna in a very deep way. And then when the cowherd boys came and told, just in a nearby village, Krishna and Balaram are there and they are hungry. They just mentioned this, and these words of the cowherd boys acted like the vibhava. And then what were the resultant actions of the wives of the Brahmanas? They immediately packed up all the foodstuffs, and then they were immediately prepared to go to the forest. So at that time, all the relatives stopped the four Kumar, the wives of the Brahmanas. Oh, you cannot go to the forest. But because these wives of the Brahmanas, they had such a deep sthayi bhava, and then when they heard that the Krishna and Balaram are hungry, they developed such a deep ecstasy, they just completely disregarded the instructions of their brothers, husbands, and all the relatives. अहो पश्यत नारीणाम अपि कृष्णे जगद्गुरौ दुरंत भावं यो विद्यन मृत्युपाशान गृहाभिधान. So just see the unlimited love these women have developed for Krishna, the spiritual master of the entire universe. This love has broken their very bonds of death, their attachment to family life. They became oblivious to the surroundings. They disregarded all other instructions, and they immediately ran to the forest with all their footsteps. This is one of the type of anubhava called as loka anapekshita. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also exhibiting the similar anubhava over here. Because just by hearing that song, Mahaprabhu started running at the great speed. Sometimes people will get bewildered. Suddenly a person starts running. There is no running race or something. When you see that, nothing like that. You may feel like, why the person is running? People will become bewildered. But Mahaprabhu went into such internal consciousness and he became oblivious to the surroundings. He started running. And he didn't even notice whether it's a male voice or female voice, because he was completely absorbed in internal consciousness. And then another type of anubhava which Mahaprabhu is exhibiting over here is one anubhava is called as raktodgama. Raktodgama means blood starts coming out of the body. When the Sai Baba is stimulated by the Vibhava, the blood starts coming out of the body of the devotee. And here, in Mahaprabhu's body also, the blood started coming by the pricking of the thorns. But Mahaprabhu actually paid no attention. He was not even oblivious to that. He was not even conscious of that. And then Govinda comes, and when Mahaprabhu was about to embrace that girl, Govinda actually stops Mahaprabhu and he says, "This is a woman, you are about to embrace a woman." And Mahaprabhu says, "Oh, it is a woman who you have saved me from actually committing suicide." Because here we see another aspect of Mahaprabhu. Here Mahaprabhu comes to external consciousness and he becomes aware of the Varnashram Dharma rules. Because Mahaprabhu is playing the role of a sannyasi, and as a sannyasi, he is not supposed to have any connection with the women. And when he hears that actually he is about to embrace a woman and Govinda has stopped, and Mahaprabhu is like, comes to his external consciousness, he says, "Oh, you have saved me from committing suicide. I shall never be able to repay my debt to you." So such a beautiful story where we see Mahaprabhu's absorption in internal consciousness and also Mahaprabhu's sensitiveness to the Varnashram Dharma rules. So Varnashram Dharma rules are related to the external body. Related to the external body. And like many times when a person is practicing bhakti, a person may give excuse to not follow the Varnashram Dharma principles by saying that, "Oh, I am following the higher dharma." So there is a subtle difference between actually surrendering to the Lord and using surrender as a tool to escape one's Varnashram duties. So we may be thinking that we are actually surrounding, but actually our ego may be cheating, that we may be using the surrender as a tool to avoid certain responsibilities or Varnashram Dharma rules. So here we see Mahaprabhu's how he is conscious of the Varnashram Dharma rules as a sannyasi. And we find, like for example, in Mahaprabhu's conversation with Ramanandarai, Mahaprabhu asked Ramanandarai that what is the goal of life and what is the sadhana to achieve that goal. And Ramanandarai, first answer he gave is that, Varnashrama Charavata Purushina Parapuman Vishnur Aradhyate Panta Nanya Tatosha Karanam. Nanya Tatosha Karanam. That by following the Varnashram rules, one can actually please Lord Vishnu. When Mahaprabhu heard this answer, he said, this is something external. Tell me something more. Tell me something more. So people, many times, Prabhupada was once speaking about the Varnashram Dharma in some morning walk. And then one devotee asked Prabhupada by quoting the statement of Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu rejected Varnashram by saying that Varnashram Dharma is something external. So why do you actually emphasize on Varnashram? And Prabhupada gave such a reply. And there's a conversation in February 14, 1977. And Prabhupada said that Mahaprabhu is on a completely internal platform. And he is an Akinchana Bhakta. He can reject Varnashram. But we have to establish the Krishna consciousness movement by following by establishing the Varnashram principle. Because it is not easy to become a Vaishnava. Otherwise, why there are so many people who fell from the position of sannyas, who fell from the path of this one? Because they were not qualified for that position according to the Varnashram qualification. So that is why they fell. So we have to establish Varnashram. It is not easy to become a Vaishnava. One has to practice Varnashram Dharma to become Vaishnava, like that Prabhupada gave a reply. And so when we say that Mahaprabhu rejected Varnashram as the goal of life. But Mahaprabhu did not reject Varnashram as the lifestyle to observe in our life. Because the whole Ramananda Rai Samvad, the whole Samvad begins with Mahaprabhu asking the question, what is the highest sadhya and what is the sadhana? So both as a sadhya as well as a sadhana, Mahaprabhu rejected Varnashram. But as a lifestyle, Mahaprabhu did not reject Varnashram. And we have so many instances from Mahaprabhu's pastimes. I'll just mention those pastimes, how Mahaprabhu was conscious of the Varnashram rules. And one pastime is the present pastime we are reading, where Mahaprabhu, when he heard that he was about to embrace a woman, that he became conscious of the Varnashram Dharma rule of a sannyasi. And then another pastime is the Chota Haridas pastime. It is said that Mahaprabhu Kripa Sindhu Kepare Bujite Priya Bhakta Dosha Karena Dharma Bujayate. Mahaprabhu is the ocean of mercy who can understand Mahaprabhu, but when he chastises his dear devotees like Chota Haridas, he certainly does to re-establish the principles of religion or duty. Well, Mahaprabhu wanted to actually show how a person, the renowned starter, should be cautious about his dharma. But that's what he established using the Chota Haridas. Another example is that Mahaprabhu, when he was a grahastha, when his first wife died, he knew that at that time Mahaprabhu was 20 years old, and he knew that he would take sannyas after at the age of 24. But still Mahaprabhu married for the second time, because Mahaprabhu wanted to follow the Varnashram Dharma principle that living in a house means living with a wife. That means living in a householder ashram, grahastha ashram. Mahaprabhu did not want to stay in between, say, brahmachari or a grahastha. He wanted to observe the Varnashram Dharma rules. So there also we show Mahaprabhu's respect for Varnashram Dharma rules. And then as a grahastha, when his father died, Mahaprabhu went to Gaya to perform the Shraddha for his father, which is also a dharma of a grahastha. And then we also see later in the 19th chapter, Kaviraj Goswami calls Mahaprabhu as a Matru Bhakta Shiromani. Mahaprabhu says that I have destroyed the principles of dharma. Of actually not following his duty as serving the mother. So consciousness, the more a person becomes conscious of the responsibilities which he did not perform. That is one of the sign of a sincere devotee. So he does not say that, oh, because I am practicing a higher dharma, that I gave up the lower dharmas. No, rather a devotee, he will increase his surrender to the Lord, but at the same time, a devotee will feel that he becomes conscious of some of the lesser responsibilities which he did not perform. Even Uddhava in the third canto, second chapter, when he is remembering the activities of Krishna, Uddhava says that, Dunoti chetas marato mamaitat yadaha padav abhivandya pitru tatamba kashat uru chaikitana prasidatamnu kata nirikshatana. When Krishna came to meet Vasudeva and Devaki, and Krishna told Vasudeva and Devaki, so my dear father and mother, please excuse me for my inability that I did not serve you properly. I was actually away from you. I was in Vrindavan. Please excuse me that I did not serve your lotus feet. Because of the fear of Kamsa, I was in Vrindavan. Please excuse me for not serving you. And Uddhava says that, when I remember these dealings of Krishna, it gives me pain at my heart. Why does Krishna have to beg? What is the need of Krishna begging forgiveness from his father and mother? So we see the same behavior in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says that, oh, I did not serve my mother. And Mahaprabhu, why did Mahaprabhu refuse to give his darshan to Pratapudra Maharaj? Again, he wanted to follow the Varnashram Dharma principle of as a sannyasi, one is not supposed to intimately associate with the king, because at that time, 500 years back, Varnashram Dharma was very much prominent. The principles were prominent. So therefore, if a sannyasi were seen to associate with a king, that would be a black mark on the sannyasi, and that would bring down the reputation of a sannyasi. And for a sannyasi, the most important thing is the reputation. When the reputation is lost, then he cannot actually preach, he cannot perform his service. So Mahaprabhu was conscious of these Varnashram Dharma principles. But Prabhupada, the devotees were requesting that, making request to Mahaprabhu to give his association to Pratapudra Maharaj. And Pratapudra Maharaj was a great devotee, but Mahaprabhu refused. But on the other hand, Prabhupada, he told his disciples to arrange a meeting with Morarji Desai, who was the prime minister. And Morarji Desai, he was not a devotee on the caliber like Pratapudra Maharaj. And it's not that he was eager to meet Prabhupada. Rather, Prabhupada told his disciples to arrange a meeting with him. Because one may say, oh, how Prabhupada is following exactly opposite to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Prabhupada felt that if I get to meet Morarji Desai, that will be good for the preaching. If I seek his help, he may be a pious person, and maybe that will be good for actually spreading Krishna consciousness. But 500 years back, Mahaprabhu, because at that time the principles were such that if Mahaprabhu was seen to actually meet with Pratapudra Maharaj, that would not be good for the preaching. That would be considered as a bad on the character of Mahaprabhu. So therefore, that we also have to follow the Varnashram Dharma principles according to the changing times and places. There are certain core principles, but the application will differ from changing time and place. And they are subordinate to the principle of Anukulyasya Sankalpa Pratikulyasya Varjanam. So whatever is favorable for serving Krishna or the mission of the Lord, we follow the Varnashram Dharma principles accordingly. And also another example where how Mahaprabhu was conscious of the Varnashram Dharma principle is that when Sarvam Bhattacharya asked Mahaprabhu to come to his house for prasadam for 1 month, Mahaprabhu strictly refused. He said, as a sannyasi, I cannot come to the same house for 1 month. And then Sarvam Bhattacharya reduced the 1 month to 21 days, and then 15 days, 10 days. But still Mahaprabhu kept on refusing. And finally Mahaprabhu agreed, okay, I will just come for 4 days in the month. Because here also we see how Mahaprabhu was cautious of following the Varnashram Dharma principles. So, like that, there are other examples. So, therefore, here in this pastime, Mahaprabhu's deep internal consciousness, that is also seen, and also his sensitivity, how he is conscious of the Varnashram Dharma principle, that is also seen. And then going ahead, then Mahaprabhu says, makes a statement to Govinda. He says that, oh, you have saved me today. I will never be able to repay my debt to you. Therefore, please stay with me always. And because there is danger everywhere, and you should protect me very carefully. So here we see there's another beautiful principle which comes. So if you want to study the Vaishnava behavior, Vaishnava etiquette, the best book is Chaitanya Charitamrita by studying the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. So previously, I think the Rupa Siksha, Sanatan Siksha, Mahaprabhu said that the famous word. Forget that word. Krishna Bhakti Janma Moola Hoya Sadhu Sangha. Krishna Prema Janme Teho Puna Mukhyanga. The root cause of devotional service to Krishna is association with advanced devotees. And then even when a person's love for Krishna is awakened, but still the association with the devotees is concerned. And here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an example of a person who has awakened his love for Krishna. But he is saying that, please actually stay with me everywhere so that please protect me from the Maya. So Mahaprabhu is considering in the awakened platform of Prema, he is considering the association of the devotees to be most essential. And previously, one of the pastimes, Sarvam Bhattacharya, Mahaprabhu was glorifying Sarvam Bhattacharya. Sarvam Bhattacharya told that previously I was like a jackal. I was actually speaking this dry logic, dry nyaya. I was making sounds like bayu, bayu. But Mahaprabhu has converted me into a Garuda. By the mercy of Mahaprabhu, I became a Garuda. Previously, I was a jackal. But Mahaprabhu, when he heard that, he gave a reply. He said that, actually, you are a devotee from your previous life. Because of your devotional service, I am becoming a devotee. By your devotional service, I am becoming a devotee. Like that, he gave credit to Sarvam Bhattacharya. So, association with the devotees is the root cause of awakening bhakti. But once the bhakti is awakened, even when the love of Krishna is awakened, but still the association of the devotees is most essential. So suppose like when a person is digging a well in order to get water, it's a very hard work to dig a well to get water. But suppose if the person who is digging a well, if he gets the post of Indra, if he gets the post of Indra, he will actually stop digging the well. Because Indra is the Lord of the rains. So similarly, when a person is following the path of Jnana Marga or Ashtanga Yoga Marga, when those people, when they achieve liberation, when they achieve their goal, then they give up their sadhana. Just like a person who is digging a well gives up his hard work when he becomes Indra. On the other hand, a practitioner of a bhakti process, even when a person actually achieves perfection, a person becomes doubly serious about the sadhana which he was performing previously. And that's what we see in the example of, say, Sanatan Goswami, Haridas Thakur. Sanatan Goswami, even in the grand old age, he was actually trying to do the long parikrama of Govardhan. Haridas Thakur, Mahaprabhu asked that, how is your health? So Haridas Thakur said that, my body is all right, but my mind is not proper because I am not able to complete my chanting of the rounds. So that shows that even at the old age, how he was actually serious about his sadhana. So therefore, in the bhakti process, one does not actually give up the sadhana even when a person achieves perfection. Rather, he becomes even more serious about the sadhana. And even when the love of Krishna is awakened, association with the devotee is considered to be the most important item. Like one example, we can see Dhruva Maharaj and Bharat Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj, he got the association of the, like in one class, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was mentioning that what is the purpose of association? The purpose of association is to become fixed in the real goal of life and also to become fixed in the sadhana to achieve that goal of life. That is the purpose of association. So Dhruva Maharaj, when he got the association of Narada Muni, what was his goal? His goal was to get a kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma. And Narada Muni somehow inspired him to follow the path of bhakti. So by the association of Narada Muni, he started practicing bhakti, but his goal remained the same, to get a kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma. But then, by the intense practice of bhakti, finally when the Lord appeared, he became so purified, he did not ask for that goal with which he began the practice of bhakti. Rather, he asked for the association of devotees. Bhaktim muhuk pravakatam tvayime prasangu yenanja solbanam uruk vyasanam bhavabdim neshe bhavat gunakatamrita panamatta. That let me get the association of devotees, let me get immersed in hearing and chanting of the Supreme Lord, let me become intoxicated. But on the other hand, see Bharat Maharaj, he went to the forest. He knew he went to the forest to achieve the goal of life, to achieve love for Krishna. Dhruva Maharaj also went to the forest, but to get a kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma. But Bharat Maharaj went to the forest to achieve love for Krishna, and he was very so fixed in the sadhana of worshipping the Shaligram Shila and performing his chanting, etc. But when he became attached to the deer, he did not have the association of the devotees. He did not consult his spiritual master. He did not consult any other devotee. So because of the lack of association, so Dhruva Maharaj began his process of bhakti as a Karma Mishra Bhakta, as a Artharthi. As a Artharthi, he began his process of bhakti. But Bharat Maharaj, when he began the process of bhakti, he was a pure devotee. And in fact, he was actually exhibiting the symptoms of ecstasy. Once when he was worshipping the deities, the ecstatic symptoms started appearing. But he felt those ecstatic symptoms to be a disturbance, because he felt that, oh, these are going to obstruct me in my worship of the Shaligram Shila. And then he tried to control those ecstatic symptoms. He tried to pray to the Lord, oh, please keep my intelligence proper so that I don't forget the rules of worshipping the Lord. So Bharat Maharaj was initially in the platform of he was in the initial stages of prema. But because of lack of association of devotees, when he became attached to the deer, he deviated from the goal of life with which he came to the forest, And also he deviated from the sadhana to achieve that goal. And he left his body by thinking of the deer. So therefore, these two stories tell that a person may have a wrong motivation, but with the association of the devotees, eventually Dhruva Maharaj came to the right goal. He became situated in the right goal of life. He became situated in the right sadhana. But Bharat Maharaj is fixed in the right goal and the right sadhana. But because of lacking the association of devotees, because he did not consult any devotees, therefore he fell from his spiritual position. He became a deer. So therefore, it is said that when we read the Shastras, we get knowledge. And when we hear from the devotees, we get wisdom. That means we get wisdom of how to apply that knowledge. And then when we apply that wisdom, when we serve with that wisdom and with that knowledge, then we get realization. And the combination of these three, that is knowledge, wisdom, and realization, the combination of these three makes a person mature. So therefore, theoretical knowledge is one thing, but hearing from the devotees, we get wisdom. And then when we apply that knowledge and wisdom, then we get realization. And then as a combination of that, a person becomes mature. So here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that, please stay with me always, and there is danger anywhere and everywhere. Therefore, you should protect me very carefully. So I think I shall stop here, because if I begin the next pastime, it will go more time. Because if anybody has any questions or comments, then they can share.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. I think this was a very fantastic class. Thanks for touching upon the different emotions that actually Mahaprabhu was undergoing at this time. It was easy to comprehend. Thank you so much for your very wonderful details in the class. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. It's very simple and very easy to understand. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your association. Even the topic is very high, but you made very simple for our understanding. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Mata.
Hare Krishna. Is there any question or comment for Prabhuji from the devotees? You can go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanavad pranams. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Prabhu. As everybody said, I too second with a compliment. That class was really very nice, and especially the way you connected to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So my question is that you were talking about Sthai Bhava, then Vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvika Bhava, and Vyabhachari Bhava. So the difference between Anubhava and Sattvika Bhava, you said that, you know, of course there are differences between the various type of emotions once one develops. Like in Sattvika, there are 8, and Anubhava, there are around 14, 15. And also you said that Anubhava, there is an element of intelligence, whereas Sattvika Bhava, there is no element of intelligence. So in this regard, like the pastime that we are reading right now in Chaitanya Charitamrita, so when Mahaprabhu heard the voice, so immediately there was a Sattvika Bhava, right? And when he was stopped by Govinda, then, you know, he realized that means that, you know, intelligence was there. Then intelligence came. Before that, you know, there was no as such intelligence, because Mahaprabhu didn't realize that whether the person who is singing is a male or a female. Is it right understanding, Prabhu? Like first the Sattvika Bhava came, and then he got a little bit of Anubhava, and then, or some difference in my understanding?
There is Satvika Bhava and Anubhava, both were there. It all happened in a second. We can't, like, all of them appeared simultaneously, in that sense. Like, Raktodgama, bleeding, is considered to be one of the Anubhava as well as the Satvika Bhava. The blood started coming out of his body. That's considered to be both Anubhava and Satvika Bhava. In that one, Satvika Bhava is also there. And then we can say Lokana Pekshita, he was completely oblivious to the surroundings.
Hmm.
Another point which I wanted to mention, that there are three things. Introspection, circumspection, and retrospection. So what is introspection? Introspection means we have to, when we study Mahaprabhu's life, introspection means when you are practicing bhakti, we have to see, am I developing Vaishnava qualities? Is there a change in me? So that is like introspection. Circumspection means we have to examine the surroundings. If I don't follow this rule, what will happen to the surroundings? Like Mahaprabhu said, oh, if I had embraced that woman, I'm a sannyasi, like it would have been like a big chaos. It would be a big black mark on me, like I would have to commit suicide. He became aware of the surrounding. That is like a circumspection, like analyzing the surroundings, what is there around us. Introspection is like analyzing our heart, analyzing our behavior. Am I actually progressing? Am I becoming free from the anarthas? And then there is retrospection. Retrospection means seeing our past. Like, what was my past conditioning? Now, how I am actually remembering our past. Remembering our past and then our present condition, that helps us to remain grateful, and that helps, that gives us hope also that we have actually progressed. In the past, I had these problems. Now, just like Ajamil, he says that in the sixth canto, that after hearing the conversation between the Yamadutas and the Vishnudutas, he says that, because I was such a sinner previously, I had actually given up my father, old father and mother, and my wife, and I gave up all the Brahminical duties, but I got the holy name of Radha. How such a sinner I was previously, and now I have got the great holy name of the Supreme Lord. And Prabhupada says that this is the standard of becoming a pure devotee, or this is the process of becoming a pure devotee. The standard of a pure devotee is that a pure devotee should repent for his past sinful activities, and it is the duty of a pure devotee to remember his past and repent for his past sinful activities. So this act is called as the retrospection, what we were before. So here Mahaprabhu, this is just another point which I forgot to tell. Mahaprabhu, how even he was actually, he was doing a circumspection when he came to know that he was about to embrace a woman. Then he analyzed, I would have to commit suicide if I had done, and you have saved me actually. So therefore, a devotee has to do all three: introspection, circumspection, and the retrospection. And regarding your question, we can say in Satvika Bhava, there is no element of intelligence. And Anubhava, there is some element of intelligence. Anubhava is also different symptoms of ecstasy. Satvika Bhava also different symptoms of ecstasy. But in Satvika Bhava, there is no element of intelligence. So, but here, we can say Mahaprabhu was exhibiting those Satvika Bhavas or Anubhavas. It's not actually given in the purport. But they're just, I'm just trying to relate with the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu which we were discussing. Because one of the symptoms of Anubhava is that Lokana Pekshita, a person becomes oblivious to the surroundings. And Raktodgama, which can be considered both as a symptom of Anubhava and Satvika Bhava.
Yes. Thank you, Prabhu. Sorry for, you know, asking this question, because I could relate now that, as you said, that it was just in a fraction of second everything happened. So we cannot differentiate as such the bhava level. But thank you, Prabhu. That really helps. And especially this introspection, circumspection and retrospection that every devotee should do. So thank you for that too. You know, and really, really very, very nice class, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you for the wonderful class, Prabhu. I have a doubt of Vyavachari Bhava, which you said, like the Malpua story. I mean, how in a Malpua, if you put a black paper and it becomes opposite, but yet it adds to the taste. So, Prabhu, will you give an example of a Leela from the scripture which will help to understand?
Yeah, Leela from the scripture is that actually Vyavachari Bhava, there are 33 Vyavachari Bhavas are there. But say one example I'll give. Say Mother Yashoda, when she saw Krishna in the coils of Kaliya, then Mother Yashoda went into a intense anxiety and she became unconscious. She went into intense anxiety. So that mood of anxiety, that is like an Vyabhichari Bhava. Or another example is that when Rohini and Yashoda would be cooking, at that time, they would be always actually having in their mind what Krishna and Balaram are doing, because will some animal come and actually attack them, or will they go and touch some fire, or will they touch some sharp objects? So these emotions were there in the back of their mind. Because of that, they were not able to concentrate on their cooking. And these emotions of anxiety, they are like the Vyabhichari Bhava. These emotions like anxiety, there are 33 types of Vyabhichari Bhavas are there. Some of the Vyabhichari Bhavas are like shyness, or haughtiness, pride, or jealousy, envy, or thoughtfulness, or self-disparagement. Like when Krishna teased Rukmini that you have made a wrong choice in actually marrying me. There are so many other people who are better than me. You are lacking actually farsightedness. Out of short-sightedness, you married me. So at that time, Rukmini Devi, like when she heard those accusations of Krishna, Rukmini Devi, she became unconscious. And later when she got up, she actually started rebuking. She started like defending herself, how she made the right choice. In one of the verses, she says is that Rukmini Devi says that actually I did not make a choice out of short-sightedness. You said that like without examining the other better personalities than me, you married me. But rather, I made an exhaustive universal appraisal. Before marrying you, before choosing you, I actually considered even personalities like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, even such all the devatas, and what to speak of these other like tiny kings of this world. And I made an exhaustive appraisal of all these personalities, and I saw that all these personalities are under the influence of time. Then after that, I decided to marry you. So Rukmini Devi, when she speaks this verse, she is exhibiting the Vyabhichari Bhava called as thoughtfulness. That means, she is saying that actually I am not short-sighted. Rather, I am a very far-sighted person. I saw all the possibilities because I made an exhaustive universal appraisal. Because sometimes, like when young girls, they get carried away by the sweet words of certain boys. Many Muslims, they use this tactic. They speak some shairis or something, and they attract young girls. This technique is prevalent not only in India, even in Western countries also. I saw on video how in UK it's happening. So many times young girls, they get carried away by somebody just gifting some mobile phone or speaking some sweet words. So Krishna also accused like that. You got carried away. You are a very short-sighted person. But actually, Rukmini Devi proves that I am a very far-sighted person. And there she exhibits the Vyabhichari Bhava called as thoughtfulness. Like that, there are 33 types of Vyabhichari Bhava. And for each of the Rupa Goswami gives multiple examples.
Okay. Thank you.
This Vyabhichari Bhava, as I mentioned, that they may appear to go against the Sai Bhava, but it nourishes the Sai Bhava in a very distinct way. Like that Malpuva camp, for example.
So, Prabhu, my next question would be like, I mean, I don't know if it is relevant or not. Like, see, if we put little salt in a sweet, it increases the taste of the sweet. But if we put too much of it, it becomes, you know, it ruins the dish. So, is it same with the Vyabhichari Bhava that if we have too much of it, it will spoil the other Bhavas?
That is why Vyabhichari Bhava is called as a transitory emotion. Yeah. You are correct. Vyabhichari Bhava is a transitory emotion. It is a momentary emotion. It is there for some time only. Vyabhichari Bhava is a temporary emotion. And some of the Vyabhichari Bhavas may leave behind a lasting impression, but it is a temporary emotion. Just like you add a little salt to the sweet, or sometimes you may add a little goo to some sabji, little sugar to the sabji. It's an opposite taste, but that little this one, it may enhance the taste. So Vyabhichari Bhava is a transitory emotion, it's a temporary emotion. It is an opposite to the Sthayi Bhava, but it enhances the taste of the Sthayi Bhava and gives the overall experience of Bhakti Rasa. It plays its role.
Okay, Prabhu. Yeah, thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Very grateful. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Dhanvat Pranam. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. My name is Sandy. I'm from Orlando, Florida. I'm new, and sometimes I use when we have to like dress the deity or bathe them and stuff. Knowing that Mahaprabhu didn't like female to come close to him, sometimes I feel like it's wrong because we have to like massage him and everything. So is that any, can you explain?
You are asking that can we dress Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, serving the deity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?
Yes, the deity where we are doing it, because I feel like thank you.
There are no particular, at least I have not heard any particular restrictions serving the devotees in female bodies, serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu deities. Because in our temple also, Mataji is dressed, Gauranitai deities, bathing them. We also dress Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because we are not dressing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the sannyasi vesh. Because in the ISKCON temples, when we dress Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we dress them gorgeously as Mahaprabhu as a grahastha. Because the different ornaments and this thing. So I think it is allowed. We are not dressing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in sannyasi vesh.
Okay, Prabhu. It is that I feel like while I'm doing it, I feel that, I don't know. I feel like, is this right? Am I doing something wrong? But you explain it. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
So, shall we end the class here? I think 9:40 almost.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranams. What a beautiful class, Prabhuji. You cleared so many concepts with reference to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu also. So, I'm really grateful, Prabhuji, for your class and association. Please do come again and give us your association. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all goes to Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Can you hear me?
Yes, Mataji.
Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhuji, for beautiful, beautiful class. And sorry, Prabhuji, for the last minute request. You had classes back to back. I saw that. So sorry about that, Prabhuji. I had a little question, like Bharat Maharaj, he was so advanced devotee in doing bhakti and worshipping Shaligram Shila. But because of no association, he just fell down from his position. But did he had a guru or something? Means whose direction?
Yeah, he definitely was? He must have. Guru's name is not mentioned, but principle of accepting a guru is there for everyone. But Prabhupada says that because Bharat Maharaj did not consult his spiritual master, therefore, he fell from his position, like that he mentions.
Okay.
Guru's name is not mentioned. That is why Bharat Maharaj, later as a Jada Bharat, when he is giving instructions to Rahugun Maharaj, he says that Rahugunaita tapasana yati na chejaya nirvapanat grahadva na chandasa naiva jalagni surye vina mahatpada rajobhishekam. He says that, oh Rahuguna, that it's not possible to achieve perfection simply by performing austerities or observing the rules of the Varnashram Dharma or giving charity. The only way to achieve perfection is to actually smear one's body with the dust of the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas. Because this is the lesson which Bharat Maharaj learned from his own life. Because he did not consult any devotee, therefore he became attached to the deer and he fell from his spiritual position. And when you have learnt a lesson deeply in your life, and that then that comes actually again and again in your actually speaking to others. Because it is not simply a theoretical lesson, it is something experienced in your own life. So therefore Bharat Maharaj, he had experienced in his own life how, because of not having association, he fell from his position. Therefore, this is the one of the concluding instruction which Bharat gives to Rahugun Maharaj. That Rahugunaita tapasana yati, that the way to achieve perfection is by serving the devotees of the Lord, by getting the mercy of the Lord, mercy of the devotees.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. Thank you, Prabhuji, for your nectaring class. Hari Hari Gauranga.
Thank you, Mataji.
Anjana Gopika Mataji, you can take care now.
So, shall we wind up?
Yes, Anjana Gopika Mataji, we cannot hear you. So, on behalf of her and all the this Bhakti Sangha group, we thank you.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your. Yes, thank you so much. Please, Prabhuji, please come again and give your association. Now we can end the call. Thank you, all the devotees, for joining. Manasa Kalpa Durvesta Kirpa Sindhu Beta Patita Nama Pavanibhyo Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Radhika Vallabh Prabhuji Ki Jai. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you.